You guys are ready? Carol's not going to hear it all out.
As long as there's no addition changes.
Senate Environment, Energy, and Natural Resources Budget Division will come to order. Members are, we're having a very difficult scheduling time now with finance divisions reaching our deadlines and policy committees meeting at the same time. So we're just going to go ahead. What we intend to do today is pass out the language that we've worked on, the different articles for our omnibus bill, and the staff will go through those in detail. You will see in the language, go ahead and pass it out. There's blanks. There's no dollar amounts in this document that you'll be seeing. And so be clear that the language is in there that does not guarantee any money at all or any particular dollar amount. We will, tomorrow in our regular committee, we will go through the spreadsheet and adopt the spreadsheet and the language. And today we're just going to go through the language. So the intention of the committee today is just to go through the document that you've all received and explain what's there. And we won't be taking amendments or anything until tomorrow. All right.
It's 89.
Yeah, go ahead. You want to start?
Well, he's going to do the first article. I'll just tell him.
Okay. You want Mr. Mueller.
Madam Chair, there's going to be four documents handed out. The first one is Article 1, which is the Environment and Natural Resources, the overall budget that carries the appropriations and the base appropriations for all the agencies, except for Commerce and Public Utilities Commission. That will be Article 2, which will be called Energy Appropriations. Now, those carry the agency appropriations for the Department of Commerce, the Energy Division, and the Public Utilities Commission. Then there's going to be two additional documents that are dealing with one-time appropriations. The first one, it's an article, then there's a blank number, but it's SC5532-2, and that's the Environment, Energy, and Natural Resources One-Time Appropriations. And then the fourth document, which is SC5533, says Clean Water Legacy One-Time Appropriations. So there's going to be two separate documents that deal with one-time appropriations that we'll be dealing with tomorrow. So there's four documents. Mr. Knopf is going to go through Article 1, the Environment and Natural Resources, and I will go through the next three documents.
All right. Mr. Knopf.
Madam Chair, I'll just go through it as brief as I can here to kind of describe. There are a few riders that are some new language that are some language that's new to people. We want to spend a little time maybe on that. But otherwise, a lot of these things I think people have seen before. If you see, Section 1 and Section 2 are just kind of boilerplate where we do the summary of appropriations and explain how the appropriations are to be handled. Section 3, we get into the Pollution Control Agency. And then in Subdivision 2 in the water area, you can see there's a base appropriation for the Clean Water Partnership, the base rider on 212. On 226, you see the base rider for Community Technical Assistance. A base rider on 2.31 for the ISTS systems, and then there's also a base rider on the new technology review on 3.4, and then 3.15 is the base rider for the feedlot grants to counties. What this does is instead of repeating the language every 2 years, it on 3.18 it says that the distribution must be based on what was. It had changed over a number of years, but there were no changes this year that I'm aware of to the general grant language. So we just refer to that 2005 law, and then but there's a new sentence starting on 3.21 that was requested by the agency. It deals with allowing up to 5% of the money to be used, along with the Minnesota Association of County Feedlot Officers executive team for initiatives to enhance existing delegated county feedlot programs. So that's new language that hasn't been seen before within the base rider. At the bottom of page 3, there's this is the governor's request on the permitting for ethanol mining and other developing sectors. You will note that this does show environmental fund. On 4.4, there's a report that's being requested of the Pollution Control Agency, basically to for water and air feed changes that will result in revenue to the Environmental Fund to pay for regulatory services to those sectors. So there'll be a report request for next year. And 4.12, that's a base rider. Now if we move down to the air area, where it's all Environmental Fund, 4.24 is a base rider. 4.30 is another base rider for the monitoring program. 5.1, that was an initiative a few years back, but it's been carried as a base rider on 5.1 for the ambient air monitoring in the metropolitan area. In 5.5, that's another. The ethanol mining and other developing sectors are in several divisions within PCA, so this is just kind of copying that right now. The difference here is that as a result of Senator Kubley's bill, Senate File 480, you see in 5.9, of this amount blank, is a fully characterized emissions expected from biomass gasification facilities across a range of feedstock. It also says that a priority shall be given to new and emerging bioenergy crop utilization technology. So that's from Senator Kubley's bill, or related to it anyways. 5.22, that's a base rider. We're dealing with the Superfund. 6.3 is a base rider with the Petroleum Tank Fund. 6.8 is a base rider that deals with the transfer to the Commissioner of Health for the well monitoring in the metropolitan area. Actually, I think it's statewide now. 6.15, this is new. This is related to the Sieben bill that was heard. We didn't actually have the bill in committee on Friday, but this would provide money for environmental health tracking and biomonitoring, and then a blank of this amount is for transfer to the Commissioner of Health. 6.23, that's again the money for the ethanol mining and other developing sectors in multimedia. And 6.31, that's a SCORE block grant, that's a base rider. Again, I'm not talking about the amounts when I talk about base, it's just that the rider has been carried from year to year. 7.4, that's a base rider dealing with the landfill fee money in the solid waste, in the metropolitan solid waste landfill fee money. The 7.10, that's a base rider on the environmental assistance grants and loans. 7.14 and 7.20, I think we'll see that in the one time too. It's just it's in both places depending on how the money works out for the green fleets provision that was in the governor's recommendation. On 7.21, that's a base rider extending grants from PCA that allows them to be available until 2011. 7.34, that's a base rider from 2 years ago that allows the transfer of money between the Environmental Fund and the Remediation Fund. It was hopeful that we could get a number in there and do the transfer, but so far we haven't figured out a good system that would do that, Madam Chair. And then now we're getting into Section 4 is the Department of Natural Resources. And the first rider on 8.23 is a base rider dealing with the cooperative research. And then same with 8.33, the Minerals Cooperative Environmental Research. 9.5, that's a base rider for now. That's basically the rider that would pick up the rest of the money in the which will soon be defunct minerals management account. 9.9, that's been a base rider for the school trust lands from the forest suspense account. 9.26 and 9.33, those are riders dealing with the governor's changes on the land records management system. What this does is it has two riders, and we'll have to work this out between now and tomorrow with the money over how this is carried, but there's two proposals, one dealing with the actual management system and then one dealing with asset management. And so those riders, and you can see that a portion of that money would come from the game and fish money and a portion from the natural resources fund. The rider on 10.9 is the Red River Mediation. That's a base rider. Same with the Headwaters Board on 10.13 and 10.19 on the Leech Lake Bands portion of the Headwaters Board plan. 10.24 is the Ring Dikes. That's a base rider. And then we get into forest management on the bottom of page 10. In the top of page 11, you've got a base rider on the open appropriation for forest firefighting. We do have there's a direct appropriation of a portion of that, and it also allows an open with reporting. 11.28, that's a base rider from the Forage Management Investment Account, the FMIA. And then 11.34, that's a base continuation. It's been a base rider, but as members, I think, know that would sunset this July unless it's carried. You'll see a delay of that repeal language later on in the bill. 12.3, you see the base rider for the forest timber management system. The base rider and the ecological classification system on 12.9. 12.17, this was in Senator Saxhog's Senate File 438. It's the additional money for the non-industrial private forest management landowners. Also on 12.22 from Senator Saxhog's Senate File 438 for the basically land asset management demands of the department. Again, these were also in the governor's recommendations too. 12.27, you see another governor's recommendation on implementing statewide relating to the ban and transport of non-approved firewood. That's a bill that's going through, but this is the education piece. It's not tied directly to the requirement of the bill. It's more of an education piece that goes along with that. Subdivision 5, again, Parks and Recreation Management. See the base rider on 13.4, and then another base rider on 13.8, dealing with the money that's coming from the lottery in lieu. 13.15 is the base rider on the part in the Natural Resources Fund that's from the park fees. Again, a base rider. 13.25 in Trails and Waterways, another base rider. 13.35, that's a base rider on the grant program, the grants and aid. 14.10 is a base rider on safe harbors. 14.14 is another base rider on state trail operations from the lottery in lieu. 14.20, that's the lottery in lieu money that's used for grant and aid trails. 14, and that's again a base rider. 14.28, again, is the it's basically the base rider, the money that goes from the Game and Fish Fund as required under the Wallop-Roe enhancement to the Dingell-Johnson Fund, funds that the state receives. 14.33 is for non-motorized trails in state forests. That was in the governor's recommendation. 15.1 is the water recreation account. That's the money that was from Senator Dill and Senator Fredrickson for that. This would be the money to pay for the signage on those new rivers, the Redwood River and the South Fork of the Crow River. You'll see later on in the bill. Now on 15.14, we have the that's a base rider on the treaty, the 1837 treaty management. The governor did recommend that the portion from the Game and Fish Fund be eliminated, but this does include the language that's been in the base. And now we get into a number of base riders in wildlife that are, I'll go through each one. Wildlife acquisition, that's a base rider. The next one, the Heritage Enhancement Account, that's the lottery and lieu money for Game and Fish. 15.31 is the Critical Habitat Matching Sector Account. That's a base rider for that. And then it also includes money. That's the money that allows it to be used for publicizing the critical habitat license plate. 16.3, the trout and salmon stamp, deer habitat, and the next rider, bear management, waterfowl habitat, pheasant habitat, turkey management. These are all base riders that deal with the accounts, with those accounts within the Game and Fish Fund. They're all base riders that have been part of the law for a number of years. On 17.3, that's a governor's recommendation. That's the money from that's going to be collected from the fishing license or fishing contest permits. And then on 17.7, that's the money for the wildlife health programs and the governor's recommendation. There's also in a bill of Senator Scoy's to continue funding for that, mostly dealing with the bovine TB. 17.13, that's the money for the grassland and complexes and public and private lands. That was also carried 2 years ago. Then the next one, the roadsides for wildlife, that's the continuation of that money. That program received one-time money in the past, and the governor's recommended money, and also Senator Chaudhry to bill that to recommend additional funding for that program. 1721, that's from the Let's Go Fishing bill that was heard I think about a week or two ago, and that's to take money. What this does is it takes it from the Heritage Enhancement Account. For that was Senate File 1029, Senator Saxhog. On the bottom of page 17, You have the bovine tuberculosis surveillance and diagnosis of wild deer. That was Senate File 135, Senator Scoy. The top of page 18, that's the money for the fencing, and that may be carried in the one-time bill. We may have a duplication of language, but that's we'll make sure the right riders are included in the right bill. For emergency deterrent materials assistance under the DNR program for that purpose. 18.8 was something, and Senator Chaudhry, this is a discussion that you had, and I think mentioned to the chair a while back. This is language to ask the Budgetary Oversight Committee, along with the commissioner, to report back on the allocation between wildlife and fisheries and the expenditure and receipt imbalances in the Game and Fish Fund currently. And this is a report back this coming November 15, 2008, so it'll be before the next biennium. You could have it back sooner if you wanted. I just chose that date because it'd be before the next round of allocations from the Game and Fish Fund. But it would require a table showing the receipts and expenditures, recommendations for short-term changes to correct any imbalances, and recommendations for long-term changes that will ensure that fishing license revenue is adequate to cover fishing, and that hunting license revenue is adequate to cover hunting-related expenditures. So that's from our discussions. 18.33 is a base rider that deals with allowing the extension of those grants, like you saw before in PCA. That's a comparable provision. Then on ecological services, the non-game wildlife, that's a base rider for the non-game education program from 2 years ago. $100,000 of that was allowed, I think, to use for that. Then we got the Reinvest in Minnesota programs, that's a base rider on the Heritage Enhancement account. That's the lottery and lieu money that goes into the Game and Fish Fund. 19.29, this is new. This is in the governor's plan with a new invasive species account, and you'll see language for that later. And what this does is basically it appropriates money for that purpose, and you'll see on the next page, on page 20, that a portion of that money is going to come from the invasive species account and a portion from the general fund. So that's why that's written that way. Because for those of you who may remember in that second section of the article, if we don't spell out the account that it's from, then it's the general fund unless otherwise specified. Enforcement, that's a base rider on the boat and water safety program. Remediation fund, that's the money that goes to the conservation officers for enforcing. So we're basically some of the items that are pollution control items, but they do get it. It's the base amount they get from the remediation fund for that program. There's also the snowmobile trails money that goes to enforcement. 20.18, that's a base rider. Base rider 20.24. And then on 20.31, that's the base rider that deals with overtime that was negotiated, I think, 4 years ago with the conservation officers. It's been carried, but it's been in this form since then, since 2003. 21.5 deals with the grants to county law enforcement for off-highway vehicle enforcement and public education activities. That's a base rider for that. 21.23 is a base rider dealing with the training program, especially for kids and people who need training for off-highway vehicles. off-road vehicles. 20.29, this is from Senator Chaudhry's bill, 1538. And it provides money for off-highway vehicle safety programs, and it also includes money for a new program that was also in 1538 that we'll see later. That's the statutory reference on 22.2, where it says New Minnesota Statutes 84.9011. You'll see that later when we get to that. Will also be from Senator Chaudhry's bill. On operations support, you can see the rider that provides money for Como Zoo and the Duluth Zoo out of the lottery and lieu money. The Minnesota Conservation Corps, that's a base rider under that. They receive money appropriated to pass through to those. The key there in 22.25 is that, and this is the same as it was 2 years ago in the rider, that the money from the Natural Resources Fund that goes to the Minnesota Conservation Corps must be spent under agreement with the Commissioner of Natural Resources. And then we get into Bowser. The first rider on 22.32 is a base rider. The second rider, 1323.1, is also a base rider dealing with reductions that the state may reduce that grant to that soil and water conservation district if the county also reduce the money to the county if the state reduces the money to the SWCD. 23.9 allows the money to be or must be matched with in-kind contributions or local cash. 23.15 is another base rider dealing with the general purposes grant to the soil and water conservation districts. 23.25 are the cost-sharing contracts for water and water quality management with the SWCDs and includes money that directly or tagged for feedlots. 23.34, that's the Red River Basin Commission, and that's a base rider. 24.7 is a base rider for the Area 2, Minnesota River Basin. 24.14, that's for the additional money for the for oversight of the Wetland Conservation Act. It's also in Senator Chaudhry's bill we heard earlier today. And then also then 24.19, that's dealing with the wetland bank sites. Those are in the governor's budget. 24.22 is the money to provide assistance to local drainage management officials and to update the drainage manual. 24.26, this is dealing with Senator Anderson, your bill on, and I'll find the number here, Senate File 1782. On the auditor's report, and you have a bill in that deals with this, but it also exempted them from rulemaking and to go through a process. But because of the timing on this, this is a rider that would kind of get them started on this process. And it basically tells them to develop performance and operational standards for those local watershed entities, and that they may withhold grants or other funding to those entities, and that they have to report back on what those standards are that they've developed are. The information on local watershed entities that are not meeting standards, recommendations for further performance and operational standard development and enforcement, including draft rules. And then there is a base rider in 25.13 that allows grants to be available until expended, and then allows also them to use money in either year for grants with the board. That's a base rider that's been carried for a number of years. The Zoological Board, we have the base rider on the money from the lottery in lieu. Metropolitan Council, those are base riders for the regional park grants, and then also the money that they get from the lottery in lieu for the regional park grants is the second rider that starts on 26.4. The language on 26.12, that's the compensation increases, that's going to be carried by all the divisions. It's a 3.25% increase, and then it also spells out that it must be used for that purpose. 26.22, that's from Senate File 438, Senator Saxhog, and this is diverting the money to a new account. And Senator Frederickson pointed out to me before the hearing started that I've got a note on mine that for some reason that account is missing in this draft, but it'll be in tomorrow in one form or of another. But it was in Senator Saxhog's bill, but it for some reason these sections got pulled in, but that we missed that one. So just to note that you won't see that account in the statutes or in this bill, but it will be tomorrow. And then you see the same thing with the next section, and that's to conform with it was a department request to create this new account and then have the money diverted to that account rather than in these general accounts to be used for those purposes. And again, the language has been heard by, I think, all the committee members in that bill. Section 13, that was from Senate File 1250, Senator Skogran, deals with the expedited permits or permit rules, and this deals with kind of expanding and clarifying that authority that they have that authority in the current law, and this just clarifies that authority. Section 14, again, is those forest resource assessment products. That ties in with Sections 12 and 11, the same purpose, and the same thing with the next Section 15. That ties into the account that doesn't show up here in the draft. Section 16, that was from Senator Saxhog's bill dealing with the off-highway vehicle management account, and that is, I think it's Senate File 476, and that's the language that was passed out of committee. Section 17 is from Senator Chaudhry's bill dealing with the new program on the off-highway vehicle safety and conservation. from Senate File 1538. That was heard, I think, on Friday, and that's the language from that bill, exactly as it was. Section 18, this is now also from Senator Chaudhry's bill. It increases the fee for registration of an all-terrain vehicle from $30 to $45 for the, it's a three-year registration. Section 19, that was from another bill of Senator Chaudhry's. Now, the gas tax increase, or the portion of the gas tax that goes to for ATVs, is not included here, but this does include the change in purposes for which money in the account can be spent. It's not necessarily tied to that. It allows the expanded use, and it's from Senate File 1210 as it was amended in the Environment and Natural Resources Committee. Section 20, that deals with infested waters, and that is from also from Senator Scogin's bill, Senate File 1250. You can see that the designation is going to be done under this new process, under 14.386. And same with sections 21 and 22. Those are also from Senator Scogin's 1250. Instead of doing it through the expedited rule process, they'll use the same process they use for game and fish laws, basically. Section 23 is the... it's just basically it takes the money that was going to the invasive or the water recreation account and puts it in the invasive species account, and this is a recommendation of the administration, and it goes along with the creation of this new invasive species account. And you can see on section 24, you can see the creation of the account, and it does. This is from the recommendation of the administration. There are some. Just something worthy to note here is you'll see later on some increased fees for non-resident hunting and fishing, and on 32.9, that includes the transfer of money from the Game and Fish Fund into this account, and then it's appropriated out of this account from those surcharges. Section 25. This is again Senator Dill and Senator Fredrickson's bills dealing with those the expansion of the canoe and boating route program to those to the South Fork of the Crow River and the Redwood River. And section 26, this is again a recommendation of the administration of the of increasing the surcharge on watercraft, and this is this again this money would go into the invasive species account, if I understand it. Again, you'll see it goes all the way down through the bottom of page 33. And then section 32, this is again just removing the civil penalties under, that's the invasive species, that goes along with the invasive species changes. And then after 34.15, that's where the new section 89.421 should have been, will be in tomorrow. 34.16, that's the repealer of the, that's extension of the repealer for the Sustainable Forest Act, and that's, again, was in Senator Saxog's Senate File 438. 93.015, that deals with the minerals management program, and it's also, it's expending the task force under that. Section 35 was from Senator Scogin's 1250. And that deals with wildlife management or aquatic management areas, the new fees that was discussed in Senator Chaudhry's in the Environment and Natural Resources Committee. Section 36 deals with the game and fish annual reports, and you'll see we're adding the deer license donation. This was from the work, I think, on Friday in the committee on Senator Erickson Rope's bill dealing with the deer license donation program, we're calling it now. And you'll see that this incorporates the changes that were made by the committee on Friday to that bill, making this a voluntary program. You can see in section 37 provides a language for how the money is donated in the special revenue account and then appropriated back for assisting for the processing of deer. And then commissioners are able to adopt rules for that. On section 38, this was from Senator Scogin's bill dealing with the pheasant and migratory waterfowl stamps, where now that to receive that pictorial stamp, a person will have to send in $2 to get that. Section 39 was again from Senator Scogin's bill. This deals with the non-residents under 18 small game license, the ability to charge them the resident rate. Section 40, this was also from Senator Scogin's 1250. This deals with the spouses on active military duty. And Section 41 was what I wrote up based on the discussion from Friday's committee meeting dealing with Senator Olson's bill on discharge from active service. And you can see how it was written. I put it all into one section. The first paragraph A deals with the small game and taking fish without a license. And paragraph B is the issuance of a license at without a fee for taking deer within that 24-month period after they leave active service. Section 42, this is from Senator Parisot's bill dealing with the lifetime licenses, adding trapping. Section 43 is also the same, and you'll note that the effective date was what the department requested August 1st, but it applies retroactively. Section 44, this was from Senator Scogin's bill also, and just I want to note something because as this provision has been going through, you'll see Senator Frederickson's amendment on 38.29. In the Environment Committee to Senator Erickson Rope's bill that dealt with lines 38.24 and 38.25, fox or coyote was deleted. In the actions by the division the other day, only coyote was deleted or was stricken. So what I did is did it the way the policy committee did it here. And so it's both fox or coyote is being stricken. And then on the new part on the bottom there is part of the administration's recommendation on reducing the non-resident firearms archery licenses to take deer for those people under 18. And then on 39.2, I mentioned this with the invasive species account. This is the $5 surcharge added to the non-resident hunting licenses that would also go into that invasive species account. Section 45, this is the voluntary deer license donation that was mentioned earlier, that allowing it to add it to the for a dollar or more added to the fees for taking deer by firearms or archery. Section 46, this is the surcharge that's added to the non-resident fishing licenses. This will also be going into the invasive species account. Section 47 is a comparable language that goes along with that license fee change on the non-resident raccoon. On how it'll be just non-residents for raccoon or bobcat. Section 48 deals with it's tied in with the pheasant and both sections 48 and 49 are tied in with the migratory waterfowl stamp required. Those are both from Senator Scogin's bill, Senate File 1250, and this just clarifies that you don't need to have the pictorial stamp. Section 50 are the license fees. That's from Senate File 1250. This allows the commissioner to establish the fees outside of the rule process for those fishing contests. Section 51, this is from Senator Kubley's Senate File 480. It's a reinvest in Minnesota Clean Energy Program. There's money in the one-time bill to kind of begin the process. This is the language that would allow them to establish the easements. They generally would use bonding money for this program, but the language is carried here to go along with the one-time money that will be used to begin establishing a program here. In fact, the kind of important part of this is in subdivision 11 with the technical committee. The other parts are important too, but those deal with how the easement's established. But the money will be to kind of get going with the technical work on 43.24 to begin that process. And otherwise, the handling of the easements is generally treated the same as RIM. The big issue here will be the payment structure. They'll have to work on a payment structure, and that's why you see on the bottom page 42 the board will develop a tiered payment system for that. And that's the same way as we heard in Senator Kubley's bill in the policy committees. Section 53 was a recommendation of the administration on the continuous trail designation. Apparently, it wasn't ready to use, or it won't be ready to use on April 1st, 2007, so they're extending that date. Section 54 was from Senate File 260, Senator Saxhog's bill, and there was some discussion about the fiscal nature of this on Friday. There's one change on 45.21. That's increased from $40 per quarter more to $50 per quarter more, so there'll be fewer permits that this applies to. So if they if they purchased it at, for this to apply, they would have to purchase it at $50 per quart or more. And then the repealer deals with something in the minerals management. Tell you the truth, I don't remember exactly what that is. We can look that up, though, Madam Chair. But that's the article, or that's the draft language for Article 1.
I have one question.
Senator Dill.
Madam Chair, Mr. Knopf, on page 17, line 17.7, I don't recall this, if we had a hearing on this part or not, but what are we talking about?
For the Let's Go Fishing?
No.
No, it's to accelerate wildlife health programs.
Oh, 17.7, I'm sorry.
Disease from livestock and poultry to the wildlife population.
This is a rider that was carried, I'm trying to recall, it's a base rider. I think it was in there 2 years ago. And it's been a base rider. Mueller's looking up the language right now, but if I recall that's a base rider that we've been picking up on that.
What kind of money do we put in?
But and there may be duplication here. This is what I was mentioning earlier. I mean, between now and tomorrow night, when this is all put together, the bottom of page, the bottom of that same page, you see the bovine tuberculosis surveillance money. I think that the both riders may be doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's something we need to look at mm-hmm. between now and then.
Senator Dill, it's always really confusing because we have some existing law with existing dollars, and they're listed all on the same pages with new programs that would require additional dollars, new dollars, and you really can't tell the difference by looking at them.
No, and this, you know, as things are being kind of all put together from various sources, sometimes we need to match that up later when we look at the dollars.
But, yeah. But that's been in law already, and so we're just talking about the base funding.
Yeah. Well, Madam Chair, members, the way this sentence is constructed, it makes it look like we're only worried about livestock and poultry spreading a disease to the wildlife population, but the threat goes the other way, probably.
Actually,
even more so.
I think I have a better answer for you now. I think these do address the same issue. I think 17.7 through 17.12 was from the administration's bill. I think I picked that up. But then on 17.29, that was actually from Senator Scoy's bill. Mm-hmm. And so we will only have one rider or the other, and I'm guessing your preference is for 17.29.
Right. Madam Chair.
Okay. Good point. Senator Chaudhry.
Also on that, Mr. Knopf, do you recall who has, which department has the accountability for these dollars? Mr.
Knopf.
Is this DNR only administrated money?
Yeah.
Mr. Knopf.
Madam Chair and Senator Chaudhry, this is money that's it's money that's appropriated from the general fund. This is going to the Commissioner of Natural Resources, and this is for their activities and dealing with wildlife health and the preventive disease. But it's in the Commissioner's purview. Now, the way it splits up is the animals inside the fence are the Board of Animal Health, and the ones outside of the fence are the Department of Natural Resources.
So Madam Chair, Mr. Knopf, on 17.8 it says wildlife health programs. It doesn't say wildlife health outside fence.
Well, Madam Chair, Senator Chaudhry, the ones inside the fence are actually not considered wildlife. They're considered domestic animals when they're being raised within a fence. Again, Madam Chair and Senator Chaudhry, I think as Senator Dill pointed out, I think the rider on the bottom would be probably the preferred rider for now. That was from Senator Scoy's bill.
Madam Chair, Mr. Knopf, I thought Mr. Senator Scoy's bill dealt with fencing. Is this the same thing?
Madam Chair, Senator Chaudhry, there's another rider that deals with that.
I see.
Specifically with that.
right. Well, other questions? Well, Senator Dill?
Madam Chair, Mr. Knopf, as long as we're on the subject here, is the one on 17.29, is that the one that's dealing with diminishing the number of deer and to reduce the number of deer by shooting them?
Madam Chair, Senator Dill, I think the money they're using for that comes from the dollar that's on the deer license that goes for we have a wildlife health or basically a deer health provision that's on the deer license, and there's a statutory appropriation for that money. And I think most of the money that they're using for the shooting is coming out of that. This is dealing with mostly just the surveillance and diagnosis under this part.
Any other questions on this article? Senator Fredrickson.
On page 29, we have the off-highway vehicle volunteer organization, and we still have a purpose clause in here. We generally don't. It's appropriate. I would move to delete the purpose clause.
Well, I wonder if there's a way to fix it. Is there anything in here that doesn't, in that sentence, that doesn't reappear in the operational language?
Right.
Maybe, Senator Chaudhry, your language. Are you strongly attached to that sentence?
Chair, no. I agree that we generally don't do the purpose language in bills. But let's do make sure that the words are incorporated somewhere in the other parts of the bill. I was just looking at the assist volunteer improving.
I'm
looking at 29.8, Madam Chair, 29.9.
Yeah.
Probably covered fairly well.
Yeah, I think it is. Yep. I think it's concluded pretty well.
Yeah, it does seem to pretty much repeat what's in there.
Maybe if we can work on an amendment at some point on just making sure maintaining and assist. Probably just didn't need to insert the word maintaining at some point.
It says maintain on volunteer services to maintain,
there it is.
Improvements to, and monitor trails.
Oh, okay. I think we're covered.
It's a little confusing, I think, where it says, in a manner that does not harm the environment for volunteer services. I don't know what volunteer services means, but whatever. I think it works. Why don't we go ahead and vote on Senator Fredrickson's amendment, and then Senator Chaudhry, if you want to try to tweak the language to make it. But it seems to cover everything that it is needed. Senator Dill.
Well, Madam Chair, Member Senator Fredrickson, I know this is often done to delete stuff like this, but I've never really figured out why we want to delete it. What's wrong with knowing what the purpose of this bill is and the purpose of what we're, it doesn't help you interpret and understand legislative intent by leaving something like that in?
Senator Fredrickson.
Madam Chair, Senator Dill, we should write the laws plain enough and with enough detail so that you can tell the purpose just by reading the statute, without having a separate section that has to explain what's in the law.
And I think sometimes can run into difficulty where you have a purpose statement that might not be 100% the same as the actual language saying what's supposed to happen, and then you run into a conflict. And so it's simpler and cleaner just to say what you want them to do rather than saying, here's what we intend them to do, and then try to say it. Senator Fredrickson is very meticulous about what goes in the statute books. Any other comments? All right. On Senator Fredrickson's motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails.
Madam Chair?
Senator Frederickson.
In the sentence right before that, on 29.1, 29.2, the commissioner shall coordinate the program through the regional offices of the Department of Natural Resources. I don't think we really need to tell the commissioner how to operate the department. I think that's their standard operation, standard mode of operation anyway.
Senator Chaudhry?
I'm sorry, where was that?
Mentor, Senator Chaudhry. Page 29, lines 1 and 2, there's a sentence in there. The commissioner shall coordinate the program through the regional offices of the Department of Natural Resources. That's the standard operational process for the department anyway. I think it's superfluous. I'd move to remove it.
But, Madam Chair.
Senator Chaudhry.
Senator Frederickson, remember we're making the language of our bill as clear as possible so as not to provide any misinterpretation.
Madam Chair, we also, I don't think, need to micromanage the departments and what they do through regional offices.
Well, if you want to take it out, that's fine with that assumption. If there's a big uproar, we'll revisit it.
Mr. Knopf?
I just wanted to note that this was the language suggested by the Department of Natural Resources asking to be micromanaged.
Okay.
Oh, that's good to know.
Is that governor's language?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, does it affect your
Madam Chair, no, it
position,
does not.
Senator Frederickson? All right. Senator Frederickson has moved to delete that sentence on the top of page 29. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Other questions on this article? Senator Chaudhry?
Well, while we're on that page, Madam Chair, a thought on 29.8. Commissioner shall enter into informal agreements with organizations that promote the safe and responsible operation of off-highway vehicles in a manner that does not harm the environment on a volunteer basis. Senator Frederickson, does that help?
Senator Chaudhry, that helps me. That helps me understand. I don't know what for volunteer services really means. So, well, except we want to make sure we're not saying the commissioner shall do it on a volunteer basis. Well,
Madam Chair, the suggestion might be to delete for volunteer services on 29.8 and then on 29.7 after organizations for volunteer services. Just to move it up, so it would be, read the commissioner shall enter into informal agreements with organizations for volunteer services that promote the safe and responsible riding.
Sure. I'll move that.
Okay. Does everyone understand the amendment? Sorry, Senator Rummel, I just realized we've kind of flipped backwards here in this room, so.
It's all right.
It's a little funny finding your seats.
Being two rooms at once.
On the motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Okay. Okay. Article 1. Let's move on to.
Madam Chair, could I just.
Yes.
Your clarification of what people would like tomorrow. Would you like a new draft with all the. I've mentioned some technical things and those changes, or would you want a page and line amendment?
No.
Just
a new draft
would be best. Okay.
Yeah, please. That'd be simplest for everything that we've talked about. Mm-hmm. All right, next.
Madam Chair, I just want.
Senator Chaudhry.
Back on the page 17 issue, I just wanted to make a comment that I don't know what the answers are, but I have increasing questions about the way we are divvying up. The responsibility for dealing with the spread of bovine tuberculosis amongst the wildlife population, chronic wasting disease. And I think we need to figure something out a little better, because there just seems to be some contradictions. And I don't think we're accurately delineating the line that is created by the fence, whether it's a deer outside the fence or a deer inside the fence. On the one hand, a deer outside the fence is created, is considered to be wildlife. On the other hand, it is considered to be wildlife for other purposes, even though it's inside the fence. So I'm still trying to figure it out in my mind, but I just wanted to make that comment.
Okay.
On the and then on page 18, switching subjects to the Budget Oversight Committee, I appreciate this language. I'm going to have additional language. I don't know if it's appropriate for this bill or the policy bill on membership of the Budget Oversight Committee to have legislators on that committee on it as non-voting members. It kind of seems part policy, part funding. So which would you prefer? Where would you prefer to have it?
We could put it in the same section here if you'd like. If you want to, if you have the amendment ready, that'd be fine.
Okay, I don't have it ready now, but
you can have it for tomorrow.
Madam Chair, Senator Chaudhry, it'd actually be a statutory section change. Change to the statute.
Right, that's right. So it'd have to be in a different section.
Okay.
But Madam Chair, I'm not sure that it would cost any more money to do that.
No,
it's just that it relates to the budget.
Right.
By subject matter, but it's not.
Right.
Doesn't have a budget impact.
Okay. It's up to you if you want it to be in your bill. Be in your bill. If you don't care, you can just deal with it in policy.
Well, if you can get it ready to go, I'd be happy to incorporate it tomorrow in the bill.
Okay.
I think
All right.
It makes sense to put it in here just because we're talking about oversight of the budget.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a good suggestion.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I think we're done with Article 1 for now.
Madam Chair.
Senator Bach.
Just for the record, on page 32 and 33, we're raising boat fees again. Now, 2 years ago, Representative Hackbarth brought to the conference committee a 50% increase on smaller boats and argued that we have to raise this fee on these smaller boats, including canoes. We raised them 50% 2 years ago, and the money was going to go to improve boat landings 2 years ago. Well, now we're raising boat fees 50% again. I just wonder where we're going. I mean, in 2 years, we have raised registration of boats by 100%. And I don't know. I'm just very concerned about the pushback we're going to get from people that we depend on for a lot of the funding in this division, the Natural Resources Fund, all the different licenses and fees that people pay, and the thought that we're going to raise boat fees 100% in 2 years, I just got to tell you, is just unacceptable. And I realize it's a governor's proposal. It's unacceptable to me. We had a big discussion 2 years ago in the conference committee with Representative Hackbarth about, and we knew we had a lot of deferred maintenance on boat landings. And I just am very concerned about where we're going.
Comments? Senator Dale?
On that, Madam Chair, on that point, how much money does all this extra fee, these fees on these boats, raise?
Well, he's looking for that. I'll just tell you that, yeah, I understand the reluctance, and we've heard that from you and others all through the session. We just came up with a lack of alternatives to be able to fund invasive species. And one thing that we did do to improve upon the governor's recommendation in this area is to separate out the aquatic and terrestrials so that these boat fees will only be going for aquatic invasive species. So that's one improvement, I think. And we also, Mr. Knopf helped us come up with some other ways of helping to spread the cost of the terrestrial side. So at least it's focused. But, I understand, we've had way too many fees to balance our budgets in the last number of years, so I'm reluctant to do it, but I just don't see an alternative.
Madam Chair, Senator Dill, I think roughly in the department has since adjusted some of their numbers in this area dealing with because they've removed the trailer fee that they had originally had on here. But I think it's about roughly in the $1.5 million per year range that this would generate. I think it's a little less than that, 1.3 or 4, but I'll say 1.5.
Like per year?
Yes.
Per year. So, yeah, it's a significant amount. Senator Chaudhry.
Well, I'm not thrilled about raising our boat fees either. And I'm not, well, I'm not, should I say, I'm not thrilled about paying more on my boat fee again. But I think there are some fair things to consider. Whole scheme of budget, you've got education, human services, where $1.5 million, you know, you spend that when you get up from your chair. But in the environment, natural resources budget, 1% of the general fund, $1.5 million is extremely hard to come by. And so,
oh, it was in 2006.
And the other point is that we, at least we create a connection between the fee and what we're trying to do. Even last year, boat landings, it made sense to fees on that on boats. Here we're talking about invasive species, where aquatic invasives are transferred primarily by boats. So there is the connection. So we've got this tremendous need. You know, maybe boat ramps weren't as critical a need as this issue, but there's, if we don't deal with some of these invasive species, particularly in Lake Superior, the lamprey that still aren't completely gone, we end up dealing with these other issues, commercial fishing in Lake Superior for one, and others, because we didn't deal with this really critical problem when we had the chance. We have to find the money somehow. I think it might be worth considering, if we don't get the $1.5 million in boat fees, then we could look to that. Forget what it's called. The open appropriation that we have in the DNR for emergencies, in this case, firefighting and suppression, and maybe consider invasive species as an emergency as well for that type of open appropriation. So we don't, and with all the necessary reports and not that we would have to designate what would be spent, but at least the DNR could do it, could use that option if we don't have the money from other places.
Apparently, Senator Chaudhry, that still is a general fund cost to do that to our budget. Well, so our ongoing target is $20 million. Our one-time target, excluding clean water, is $10 million for this committee. So that's what we have to work with the exception of the clean water funding, which we've made a priority, and we're hoping we'll talk about those numbers in more detail tomorrow.
And that's why, Madam Chair, in the grand scheme of things, the boat fee is probably the least undesirable of the options.
Yeah. No, that's where I came down, and I know it's not perfect, but, I mean, if everybody on the committee wants to just give up on all their other really good ideas that we're trying to fund in this bill, maybe we could do it. But we have a lot of other important work we're trying to do. But I think it's such a critical issue, and you're right, Senator Chaudhry, that the costs, if we don't try to do more prevention now, I mean, who knows what the cost would be to try to solve these problems once they're here. It's one of those things where we just have to go, we have to make an all-out effort at this point. Senator Bach?
Well, Madam Chair, maybe counsel can tell me, we get a lot of people come into this state to fish in the summertime, and somebody drags their boat in here from North Dakota or Iowa or Wisconsin, and we see a lot of them. Do those boat owners pay anything to launch their boat here?
Mr. Knopf.
Madam Chair, Senator Bach, I can look it up, but if I remember, I think it's a 90-day window. If they're here for less than 90 days, they don't, and they're registered in another state. If they're here for longer than that, then they do. So a cabin owner would probably have to pay a registration, but those that are just coming in to fish for a few days or a week wouldn't have to.
So I can, Madam Chair, I can license my, I live in Wisconsin, I license my boat in Wisconsin. I can drag it up to the cabin, spend it all summer there, and I pay nothing. But if I happen to be the neighbor who happens to live here year round, I have to pay now a $15 surcharge on my boat when my neighbor who's from Wisconsin, on the lake I live on, there are people from all over the country. And the fact that they pay nothing and they drive their boat around all summer and my neighbors have to all pay, it's troubling. You know, we require snowmobilers that come from out of state to pay. We make them buy a $15 a year annual sticker if they want to drive their snowmobile on our trails, but we allow boat owners to come and go. You know, while we penalize our boat owners, I mean, 100% increase in 2 years. And I don't know where we're going to be 2 years from now, probably higher yet. It's kind of troubling.
Madam Chair, Mr. Mueller, is there a way to figure out
how to get the non-residents?
Yeah.
I think Mr. Knopf's checking what the law says right
well,
now.
Somebody from the department may need to answer this, could answer this better than I can. There may be some issues with getting with the federal funding that we get for boat and water safety and how that all works, and I think there may be some restrictions on what we can do with non-residents. It's been a while since I've looked at this, but I seem to remember something about that. There may be somebody here from the DNR that would know more if you wanted to bring them up to ask them that question.
Well, Mr. Meyer, who's is the right person here who could help us? Could you help us? Do you know all those details?
I'll try, Madam Chair. Could it repeat the question so I understand exactly what you're looking for?
Can we charge non-residents who come here with their boats? Can we charge them for that privilege? Boat license or registration fee for non-state boat owners?
Madam Chair, I believe we could create a temporary license. I don't know how the enforcement of it and things of that nature would be problematic. We are in this bill creating a $2 surcharge on the non-resident fishing licenses to fund the invasive species-related activities as well. So we thought about it going at it that way rather than trying to license the individual boats coming in. A person certainly could look at people who own cabins that are from out of state or try to match them up somehow, but the enforcement of it will be problematic trying to get them to buy licenses.
Mr. Knopf.
Madam Chair, Mr. Meyer, you may want to check with Mr. Elverum or Mr. Smalley and see. I seem to remember there was an issue a number of years ago. There was a bill in to provide some money from non-residents for being able to use our boat landings and accesses. And I thought there was an issue with that, because right now, as I said earlier, as long as it has not been within the state for more than 90 consecutive days, you are exempt from watercraft licenses if you're licensed by another state.
So. That'd be great if you could let us know. Yeah, thank you. Senator Bach.
Madam Chair, Mr. Meyer, problematic for the department to administer. How does the department administer the out-of-state trail sticker on snowmobiles?
Mr. Meyer.
Madam Chair, Senator Bach, I probably misspoke. We would have to reconfigure our electronic licensing system and work with deputy registrars, making sure we had a system that was up to speed to administer that. The trail sticker is just like any other state. You just go in and you purchase that sticker. Many states have those. Wisconsin has a trail sticker system similar to ours as well. That, because of through the electronic licensing system, it's not dependent on your state registration. If you wanted to do a sticker, maybe something like that, I'll check back and I'll come up with some options I can get to you, Mr.
That would be great. Senator Thank Bob. You. All right, let's move on. You want to go through the next one?
Madam Chair, next we'll take Article 2, Energy Appropriations. These next articles are much shorter than the first one.
Fortunately.
Yes. And I'll quickly go through it. Starting, now this just has the appropriations for a portion of the Department of Commerce that this division deals with, and that's the energy and telecommunications portion. So Section 3 deals with the appropriation for Department of Commerce. The first rider here is from Senator Metzen's bill, but had a small appropriation for the from the Telecommunication Access Minnesota Fund for the Minnesota Commission serving deaf and hard of hearing people. On page 2.6 to 2.12, or lines 2.12, there's some new language here. Basically asking the Minnesota Electrical Energy Task Force to consider to study some environmental-friendly manufacturing and assembly processes for helping the employees formerly employed at the St. Paul Ford plant. This is a recommendation that came out of the plug-in
hybrid
task force, yes. And there's a certain amount of money that the Legislative Electrical Energy Task Force assesses and has to spend within their program. This would request that they do the study within their current authority. Section 4, now this deals with some renewable development fund money that the governor had a proposal transferring, had a couple of proposals that would transfer some money from the renewable development fund into the Department of Commerce and then expend it out in various purposes. Lines 2.15 through is this some boilerplate language requesting that the money get transferred to the Department of Commerce. Lines 2.25 was in the governor's proposal. This deals with methane digesters. Lines 2.3 is for solar rebates. Lines 2.32 is for some technical assistance and outreach programs, CERTs. Line 4 is dealing with the study for that Senator Pretner Solon had for terrestrial carbon sequestration. Now that'll be a one-time request from the Renewable Development Fund. Then on Section 3.4, the governor had language transferring money to the Department of Commerce, and then they would issue grants to sort of, it was kind of open-ended program. This clarifies it a little bit and has the money going to the Institute for Renewable Energy and the Environment at the University of Minnesota. Section 7 is some new language that would increase the amount of contributions to the RDF fund by expanding the amount that must be contributed by including the Monticello plant. This would double the amount of money that is going to the Renewable Development Fund. Section 8 is part of Senator Anderson's bill dealing with the hydrogen initiative. And Section 9 is also from that bill. Section 10 is from the terrestrial carbon sequestration proposal, and also Section 11. And Section 12. It for...
Questions?
Next we'll go through the next two one-time articles. The first one is article in blank, which is the Environment, Energy, and Natural Resources One-Time Appropriations. It's the SC5532-2 document. And mentioned earlier, this will be an article that will not be incorporated into our omnibus bill, but will be sent to the Finance Committee for to be included in a one-time funding bill that is going to be put together there. So all these appropriations would be from the general fund and would be for the 08-09 year only. some of the riders here on lines under Pollution Control Agency, lines 1.23, is the governor had some a broader green fleets proposal that was funded out of the environmental fund. This just focuses on the converting diesel emission systems in school buses proposal, and it would fund it out of the general fund instead. We have Senator lines 1.26 from Senator Saxhog. The is for the plasma torch gasification feasibility study that we just heard the other day. Next is some proposals under the Department of Natural Resources. Some of these proposals were in the governor's budget as ongoing, but we were only able to fit them in as one-time appropriations or one-time proposals. Lines 2.1 is the additional money that was requested in the governor's budget for speeding up the permitting systems for ethanol and other programs. And the governor's budget actually had this as one-time general fund money also, with the understanding maybe that there would be some increased fees in the out year to help cover these costs. Lines 2.6 was in the governor's bill as ongoing, some additional money for the lands records management system. This would be some new technology upgrades at the department. This would be one time here. Lines 2.9 and 2.16 are both were for the two one-time studies under the Forest Resources Council that were in the governor's budget. Lines 2.23 deals with the statewide ban on importing firewood into public lands. They need some one-time money to get that developed and marketed. Lines 2.30 is part of the governor's proposal dealing with wetlands. Lines 3.1 is for Senator Kubley bill dealing with the Red River Mediation Agreement. Lines 3.4 through 3.9 is both was under Senator Scoy's bill dealing with fencing and the areas where bovine tuberculosis has been found. Lines 3.10 all the way down to 3.2 is the Senator Parisel bill dealing with some of the planning processes that are needed dealing with the new land that is acquired from the University of Minnesota, the Umore Park. Line 3.21, we have the proposal from Senator Bach dealing with the building renovations at the International Wolf Center. Line 3.24 is from Senator Pretner Solon for the National Silviculture Research proposal. Line 3.34 is from Senator Dibble dealing with replacement of diseased shade trees. On to line 4.15 under the Board of Water and Soil Resources. We have a number of proposals here. Line 4.17 and 4.31 were both from Senator Kubley's Senate File 480, the bioenergy bill. Lines 4.34 is from the governor's bill dealing with grants to improve local grants to improve wetlands. And lines 5.3 is from the governor's proposal dealing to help develop a comprehensive statewide wetland restoration plan. Lines 5.7 and 5.10 is from the drainage work group recommendations and helping them develop guidelines and modernization. Lines 5.14 is from Senator Sharon for the Lake Titlow watershed, and this was just a portion of that bill that was requesting, that was the general fund portion of the bill. There's a bunch of other proposals in the bill that were all bonding, and this would just cover the small portion of the bill, you know, the general fund for water control devices. Senator lines 5.31 is Senator Frederickson bill dealing with the Minnesota River Basin Joint Powers Board, and that is it for the Bowser. Line 6.5, section 6.6, we start the Department of Commerce. Line 6.6, here we're funding the E85 cost share grants. The governor had a proposal for I think it was like $12 million in this area in the Department of Commerce budget. Line 6.8 is the part of Senator Anderson's bill with the hydrogen initiative, preparing the hydrogen roadmap and making grants. Line 6.13 is the Senator Anderson bill dealing with the rural wind energy program, and this would seek some one-time money for that. There's a bunch of language that would carry out that program that leads all the way to 7.33. This is also the second part of that rural wind energy bill. And that would create the one-time infusion of cash for the revolving loan fund. Lines 8.4 is from Senator Anderson's bill, providing some additional funding for the low-income home energy assistance program. And then the last one is line 8.13, which the governor had within the renewable development fund, but we've put it here on the one-time request for general fund, dealing with some of the other proposals that were from the plug-in hybrid task force. The other sections in this one-time bill, we tried really keeping it to a minimum, the amount of statutory sections that we're carrying on the one-time article, but there is a few we had to carry here. Section 7 is some establishes the Rural Wind Energy Development Revolving Loan Fund. And Section 8 is the language that creates the Renewable Hydrogen Initiative. That is it for the article on one-time environment, energy, and natural resources appropriations.
Senator Frederickson.
Madam Chair, on page 5, lines 27 to 30, this is an issue we talked about when Senator Sharon was presenting her bill. This is not part of an organized watershed district, so it's not appropriate to have those sections listed. So I'd move to page line 27, delete everything after the period, delete lines 28, 29, and 30.
So, Senator Frederickson, so not stating these, I mean, they won't, if they're not a watershed district, they won't be required to meet any of these.
Right.
Okay.
They don't apply anything.
All right. Very good. Comments on Senator Frederickson's motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Thank you.
Madam Chair, the last one we have here is the Clean Water Legacy one-time appropriations. The document is coded SC5533, and these will contain the clean water appropriations, including the ones from the Department of Ag that used to be in Senator Vickerman's bill that came out of his Agriculture and Veterans Division. And Finance Committee today, they removed those appropriations, and it was under the understanding that they would all the clean water appropriations would be handled in this document here. Pretty much the riders for each area are ones that were previously within the governor's budget. There's a couple of different, or one new area that I'll point out, and depending on how between now and tomorrow we talk about how some of the clean water should be allocated, maybe a new category, but we'll see. Under the Pollution Control Agency, the first category would be statewide assessments. And some new language that was added here on line 1.24 through 1.27 would basically tell the PCA to include the monitoring of endocrine disruptors within this appropriation. Lines 1.28 is the piece through 1.31 has the development of TMDLs from PCA, according to Clean Water. Next, we have the Department of Natural Resources, and they basically have three categories. 2.3 is for statewide assessments. 2.6 is, again, to develop TMDLs. And 2.12 is they were doing a small portion of assisting in non-point and point restoration of waters. Section 5 is the Board of Water and Soil Resources appropriations for clean water. These, again, are pretty much categories that were carried earlier. The first one is for targeted non-point restoration and cost share programs. The second one on line 2.24 is for targeted non-point restoration and technical assistance. Lines 2.3 is for reporting and evaluating applied soil and water conservation practices. Lines 3.3 is for local grants to help implement the county individual sewage treatment system programs, or ISTS. Lines 3.7 would be language for grants to support local non-point source protection activities. And the last one is a new category for grants to address imminent threat and failing individual sewage and treatment systems. This is sort of a new line item that hasn't been in a governor's proposal before, but would address some of the more imminent threat programs that maybe wouldn't be covered in the lines 3.3 above. Under the Department of Ag, now again, this language appeared in Senator Vickerman's bill that we pulled out today in finance, so it's just pulled that language over into this proposal. The first part is for the Department of Ag's role in research and evaluation for agricultural practices in restoring impaired waters. The second part here is for activities that contribute to restoring impaired waters, including whatever technical assistance is needed by the Department of Ag. And the last portion is some money for the Agricultural Best Management Practices Loan Program. That would be the funding for clean water would be carried in this document. That is it.
All right. That's all the bills, all the pieces of the bills, and tomorrow we will bring out the spreadsheet and fill in the blanks and have some more committee discussion and pass the bill out. Tomorrow is our deadline to get the bill out and send it on to the full finance committee. So, members, I think we'll just stop here and give everyone time to digest what's in these documents, and we'll meet at our normal committee time tomorrow, and if things go really smoothly, we won't have to meet tomorrow night. But that's up to everyone. All right, the meeting is adjourned.